Hello and welcome back. This is Dr. Raymond Zakari, nurse practitioner, certified in family practice and psychiatry, and trained in sex therapy. This is episode 3 in the series, The Psychology of It All, where I will continue to explain the self-sabotaging habits of the mind we all do from time to time. For an overview of the defense mechanisms and cognitive distortions, check out the first episode podcast entitled The Psychology of It All. The primary aim of this series is to help you decide if you need therapy, coaching, or just a good friend. Of course, nothing in this podcast should constitute any professional, medical, or psychological advice. The purpose of this podcast is purely for educational and entertainment purposes only. I do not have a relationship with you as a nurse practitioner or a therapist. Please consult with a professional that knows you if you need assistance in making prudent decisions. In the last episode, I explained that a defense mechanism is any automatic reaction against a stressor. And in the arena of mental health, it is a similar automatic mental process deployed to create some psychological distance in our minds from mental anguish or distress, until we can deal with it or it goes away. Defense mechanisms are not volitional, they are reactions. However, reactions can be trained. Defense mechanisms are broadly classified into 3 broad categories: immature, neurotic, and mature. This week, I'm going to continue with the immature defense mechanisms, somatization. So, what is somatization? Somatization is when a psychological stressor is converted into a physical symptom. For example, a 16-year-old girl who gets headaches around the time of final exams, or a college-age student who develops abdominal pain shortly after moving into his new dorm. Another example would be an adult who develops sudden blindness or debilitating fatigue after the death of a loved one. Somatic issues do not mean the problem is not real, but that the underlying cause is psychological rather than physiological. For example, just because a person has a normal GI tract, it does not mean that the nausea is not real. And it also doesn't mean that antiemetic medications will not work. They may. Most people will experience a somatic symptom at some point in their life. For example, throwing up before a trial, competition, exam, deal closing. Or one may develop a stress headache in response to a new added responsibility. Some other common somatic complaints include back pain, nausea, abdominal cramps, chest pain, pressure, numbness, tingling, visual changes. It's important to note, like everything in psychiatry, somatization is a symptom, not a diagnosis. It is also important to note that people with somatic symptoms are not faking ill for secondary gain. That's called factitious or malingering. So, why do we do this? Well, that depends, but the common psychobabble on the topic is based on the work of Freud. Some believe that people behave according to the stage in which their mind is stuck or fixated. So why are they stuck? Well, the theory claims that some perceived significant stress or conflict remains unresolved in one of 3 psychosexual stages of development. Again, those stages are oral, anal, or phallic. So a person who somatizes and is orally fixated might develop uncontrolled coughing or a sensation of being unable to swallow, or may lose their voice or perceive they have bad breath around the time of a stressful event. Say a person is anally fixated, well, they may complain of persistent constipation, abdominal bloating, increased frequency or bowel movements or loose stools or diarrhea. This would be similar to the kid that goes away to camp and can't poop for a week. If a person somatizes and happens to be fixated in the phallic stage of development, they may develop unexplained testicular pain, prostatic symptoms, difficulty with their pain urinating, pain related to sex or orgasm. There is an alternative theory to the psychosexual stagnation, and that is it could be in response to a perceived traumatic event. For example, a survivor of sexual assault may have unexplained genital pain. Another theory of the defense mechanism of somatization is cultural. Some cultures have inculcated the unacceptable nature of psychological symptoms for the acceptable nature of physical symptoms. In these cultures, a person may not be able to say, "I feel stressed," but rather may say, "I have a stomach ache." The net effect may be the same in that the person may be able to avoid the stress-inducing factor for some time. it would be revealing to reflect or inquire as to the physical symptom and what it prevents one from doing as a means of gaining insight into the underlying psychological cause. If this type of anxiety-induced symptomatology persists and it interferes with life, it would be prudent to find a more constructive way to alleviate one's stress. Somatization, like all other psychiatric conditions, is diagnosed by exclusion. That means there is no diagnostic test to indicate the presence or absence of disease. When making a diagnosis of exclusion, the process is focused on discovering what the condition is not. And the not means efficiently and prudently excluding the most serious and potentially life-threatening conditions. For example, when you go to the emergency room for a problem, most people think they will receive a definitive diagnosis. The fact of the matter is, the only diagnosis you are likely to receive is emergent condition or not emergent condition, and then the name of the symptom that you had presented. After you get referred to someone else who can figure out what the condition might actually be. So for example, someone experiencing a panic attack may go to the emergency room thinking they're having a heart attack. The ER can say, not a heart attack, and then send you home. However, that does not change the fact that you are still experiencing the distress that sent you in the first place. So that's all for now. Next time, I will explain acting out, disassociation, and blocking as primitive means of self-protection. Remember to subscribe, download, like, and share to learn about the psychology of it all. Until next time, this is Dr. Raymond Zachary. Thanks for listening.